Independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off my stack.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk. Want more business? Make it happen by joining supplymybusiness.co.uk and start generating more business today for your Kent business. ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Kent Business Radio on channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, March the 14th, with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Sarah Ann Lucas, affectionately known as Bird.
A.K.A. Bird.
A.K.A. Bird, absolutely.
Well, we know now, don't we? Yeah. We know, because Alison Palmer, thank you very much, she said... it's a dodecagon, of course.
Of course it is.
Of course, but of she course cheated.
Did she Google it?
She G-O-O-G-E-L-blah-blah-it.
Did she? She Googled it.
Yeah. What's that all about?
I know. Anyway, so what is it again?
It's a dodecagon, of course. It's interesting we don't know these shapes anymore, isn't it?
Yeah, but they're getting out of control, like a lot of things, aren't they? Who needs anything 12-sided?
I wonder why they chose 12 sides. There's going to be a reason, isn't there?
Yeah, because it's the only side they've never used, so it's another excuse to change every coin-operated machine in the world. The idea... I'm in one of those
I'm loving today. The energy from you today. Yeah. I just want to come and fluff you up a little bit, just to...
One of the big problems, but I'll try and be serious for a moment,
right,
is one of the most counterfeited things in the world are £1 coins.
Okay.
It's so easy to counterfeit. So the 12-sided coin is one of the hardest things to counterfeit. That's the whole idea behind it. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Why they think it's so hard to counterfeit a 12-sided coin, I don't know. Can't you just 3D print them?
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, as I was saying before the news break, before we heard from Jonathan in the newsroom there, BT have been split up. Hey, I'm so happy. BT has agreed to Ofcom's proposal to legally separate Openreach, which runs, the UK's broadband infrastructure, if we have one. I'm so.
I so do not like them.
I really don't. There's been widespread dissatisfaction. No, you're not kidding. About the quality of service offered. We hope the split will lead to improved broadband service for small businesses and everyone else. So effectively, Ofcom have had enough and they've said, no, you can't run both sides of the business. They've now got a BT to agree to completely hive off Openreach, who are the broadband suppliers, as a separate company. But of course, Openreach have got to step up to the plate now and deliver. We need far better broadband than we have. I get better broadband coverage from the bush in Uganda than I do in the southeast of England. And that is absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
So let's see what they do. Hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed that they make a difference. What you got?
I have got, so throughout 2017, we are bringing you four amazing storytelling sessions. I love this, Lisa. I love it. Told by business professionals who have some interesting experiences to share. So this is not a time for pitching products. It's a time to hear about the personal experiences of fellow businessmen and women. And the stories might be amusing, challenging, inspirational, or perhaps a little sad, but they'll definitely be worthwhile hearing. So do come along and support our storytellers. Maybe they will inspire you to tell your story at future Business Diaries events. So this is an event that is from Lisa Settle, who I adore, and that's next Thursday. Unfortunately, two things are happening for me. It's my birthday, did I tell you that? And also my little ones.
Do you think she's telling me this four times
for a reason? Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Maybe I'll get lunch now. Yeah. Oh, I'll see where this is going. Thursday, 23rd of March, 7 till 9. And that's at the Innovation Centre in Medway at Chatham. It's on Eventbrite as well.
Cool. How old are you on Thursday? Am I allowed to ask?
It's a really funny story about this.
Go on.
Yeah, you know me. I'm happy. So I'm 47 on Thursday.
Right.
But listen to this. I thought for the last year I was 47. So I thought I was 48 on Thursday
You've
next week.
You gained a year.
And I'm not. And it was only because little Louis said to me, your mother, when's your date of birth? So I've literally been telling people for the last year I'm 47, where I was 46.
No,
he's mocking me. You're mocking me.
No, I'm not. I'm just thinking.
So
how
I've got an extra year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm loving it. Not that I ever get asked how old I am, actually.
No, but.
Thank you.
But what you could do now, which would only be fair, because you spent last year telling people you were a year older, what you should do now to claim it back is to tell everybody you're 45.
But, okay. Why?
Well, because then you claim back the year that you wasted last year.
So next year I'm 48. Yeah. Or should we just keep going with this now?
Yeah.
That's what we should do. You do it as well now.
There's no point in me doing it. I'd die.
So, yeah, go check Lisa Settle's invitation out because it's going to be amazing.
I have to say, I was ranting about NICs. Not that I pay them because I'm not self-employed. I run a business, but as I say, I used to be. And somebody said to me, I don't know what you're ranting about anyway. By the time it kicks in, you don't have to pay it in any case.
Why is that, Paul?
Well, because when you're a pensioner, you don't have to pay NICs. And that was true. I hadn't thought about that. It doesn't come in. Anyway.
Why are you ranting so much today? Tell us just why.
Because I'm not happy. I'm not happy with what the government have done at all.
And that has a massive effect on the way you feel? Tell us, because I can see it.
It has a massive effect not on the way I feel, because most of it doesn't actually affect me.
I was going to say, yeah.
But I just think it's just so stupid to derail something that was going in the right direction. You know, for years we struggled with creating jobs in this country. For years we struggled with the economy. And we just turned the corner with that. And then the politicians do something to set it all back. And you think, why did you do that? Why haven't you thought this through in any meaningful way? And it's not just one thing. It's the business rates. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's doing away with flat rate VAT. It's implementing NIC changes. It's living wage. It's all the things that they've implemented one after the other that all hit small businesses hardest and make it really difficult to work.
This is one of my questions, is what's their outcome? What do you believe their outcome is for it?
Do you want my cynical approach?
No, I want the honest. I want you to...
They don't like self-employed people. They just don't like it.
Right.
Because they can't control you. I cynically said this the other day, but I kind of believe it. Somebody said to me in an open forum, why... when government expenditure goes up every year, do we still keep talking about austerity? Yeah. And I said, they said, why don't the government say there is no austerity? We've spent more money. And I said, cynically, because loads of people, if you tell them we've got austerity, will demand that they spend more money. So the government go, oh, okay, then we'll raise taxes and spend some more money because you've demanded it. And they're conning you, basically. Is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough ranting.
Yeah.
I've got something much nicer to talk about. A lovely lady called Angela Brickenshaw is launching her book, Timber's Story. And it's about living with her guide dog. And it launched on the 15th of March, which is tomorrow, at the King Charles Hotel in Gillingham at 7:30 in the evening. And the book will be sold to raise funds for guide dogs. But the book isn't Angela's story. Although she has so much to say, it's the story of her dog, Timber.
Yeah.
And Timber wrote it before he passed away in December 2015. In a book, he talks about how difficult it was to leave his litter, learning to use his harness, being partnered with Angela, and the amusing things that people do when they see a guide dog working. The book will make you laugh and it will make you cry. And it's available from her website, which is www.timbersstory.co.uk. And it's Peanuts, $9.99. So do buy it, please. And all the funds are going for Guide Dogs for the Blind anyway. Yep. Do you know what?
Let's
talk to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show for the very first time, the lovely Sue Smith.
Hello.
Hello, Sue. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for inviting me.
Love it here.
Everybody loves it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great hashtag, isn't it? We kept seeing, love it, love it. Bird said it at least a dozen times, so we are Love It Here holidays.
Fantastic. So why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're loving it?
We are loving it in Kent and Sussex. Right. We have got cottages and houses in that specific area because we are local to Kent, so we want to keep it Kent.
So let's just put some stuff around this. You're a local-based company, and you are encouraging people to come on holiday to Kent and Sussex.
Oh, yes. From
so you're not trying to get rid of us somewhere else.
No.
You're trying to bring people in. Yeah,
exactly that. We've realised that the gateway from Europe is obviously right across Kent, and we had properties of our own that were buy-to-lets.
Okay.
And for the reasons of the changes in tax, I'm not going to rant, it's much more beneficial for having furnished holiday lets. Mm. So having the properties ourselves, we then looked at, do we do this? Research it. Can we do this? How do we do it? And we found out that, yeah, we can do it very easily, and we have done it.
Okay. So let's kind of put some parameters around this. You yourselves own some properties, some cottages.
That's correct, yeah.
Yep. And you were just renting them out as you normally do.
Correct, yep.
And, of course, the government, I'm back there again, aren't
I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the government changed the rules and imposed taxes on rentals.
Exactly.
Except the rules on holiday rentals aren't the same as domestic rentals.
No, which is crazy in a market where they probably want more long-term rentals when they say there's not enough housing, but the market is picking up for the holiday lets.
Right.
That's the way it's going.
So you've converted your properties to holiday cottages?
Yeah, we have. Beautiful ones.
And where are they?
We have them in Lenham and Charing and Staplehurst.
Fantastic. Okay, so you have holiday cottages and you've started renting those out to anyone from anywhere to come and stay in a beautiful Kent countryside. So how are you doing that? How long have you been doing that and how's it working?
We're a very baby company. We started last October.
So
6 months.
Six months. Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
We have our own website, loveithere.co.uk, which you can have a look at. All the properties are on there. But we also, in January, launched our website on the back of Home Away.
Right.
Which reaches 44 million people.
Okay.
And it has 19 different travel companies under its banner. So this year.
So I don't know this because I never go on holiday. So I
know you don't, do you? You must.
Yeah. I do. I go on holiday in Kent. In Chenterton. In my shed. So this is a presumably some kind of holiday portal.
Yeah, it's a massive marketing tool. Anybody can put their properties on there, whether it's one or whether you've got 600. It's irrelevant. There are big companies on there using it. It's American-based. It's a partner with Owners Direct, which is the UK part of it. So it's massive. So we've had people from Germany, Holland, America inquiring about the properties. So it's a fantastic marketing platform.
I don't want to upset you. See, because you're lovely.
Thank you.
But how does this fit with things like Airbnb?
Airbnb is more, have you got a room? Can you let a room? Mm. Do you want to do it for one night?
Yeah.
We chose to do ours for 3 to 4 nights or a whole week. Yeah. And you can choose on Home Away. You can. You get people that do go on there, but not many people do it for less than a weekend. Airbnb is literally, if you've got a bedroom, I couldn't believe it, going on their site. Where is your bedroom? How many bedrooms have you got? And I thought it was a bit weird. So I don't think that is as geared up to cottages, houses, as a property. I think it's more for people backpacking and one nights here and one nights there.
Yeah, I guess it's short stay hotel type or bed and breakfast type thing rather than a holiday let.
Yeah, more people that want to go backpacking around the world that can choose just a one night here. I mean, they could do the whole of Kent, couldn't they, just doing it that way instead of paying out for a whole week in one place. So it's if you want to see more.
Okay. So 6 months ago, you started offering your holiday cottages. How have you found the market so far?
It's not bad. We've got some bookings coming in. It is all down to, I think, the marketing side, which we've now launched, as I say, Home Away, which is a big part of getting your name out there. It's very competitive. And the Kent market itself has increased 60% in staycations last year from 2015 to 2016. So there's a lot of competitors out there, but there's also a lot of opportunities, which is what we want to latch onto.
Sure. I mean, and that's interesting, isn't it? Because you've got a double hit here. You've got people that are choosing to stay at home, for want of a better word, certainly to holiday in the UK rather than go abroad. But of course, you've got the whole world that may want to come to the UK. Especially as, you know, the pound's not the strongest at the moment. So you've got two sides of it, really.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the Brexit is going to help us because there are more people coming over. There's research that we did, 25% of most of the big holiday let companies in England get it from Holland, just one country, is massively. And I think they're going to come here more and more, and America.
Right.
I don't know if you saw that part on Trump. They were tweeting from America last week. The ladies that do all the research into how many Brits will click or look for their venue at the beginning of any given year for a holiday abroad, Orlando and Disney World, places like that, they have dropped from the British aspects of actually just looking by 56-57%.
Wow.
And San Francisco and New Orleans and Las Vegas have dropped by 42-47%. So the Brits are obviously not looking to go there. They're looking to do the staycation.
I guess that's all to do with the travel ban and stuff like that.
That was it, yes.
It's amazing, isn't it, how politicians can ruin things. It just never ceases to amaze me. The interesting thing is, so can you describe the type of properties that you're doing? And also, I want to talk to you in a minute about what your plans are. But let's go, first of all, with what you got.
Okay, we are going for high end, so beautifully decorated, everything supplied. We're trying to do more of a bijou property management. So if somebody wanted a local grocer to come over and drop their vegetables off fresh when they got there, we could probably organise a chef if somebody wanted to have a chef in at any given time. So all the extra little bits that you don't normally get, because I've been doing them for 10 years and I don't think of these things, but the more we dig into it, the more we think we could do that, we could do this. So we're going to try and offer more of a management side of the property. If an owner just, I've got a property, can you look after it? We'll manage it, we'll do everything. Or if they want to have interest in it, they can still do that themselves if they still want to organise their stuff. If not, we'll organise everything for them.
It's interesting, isn't it? Many years ago, I used to own a house in Bird's Neck in a wood. I had a house in Cornwall. And I let that out occasionally to people. And one of the things that we did is we had a local people have a welcome pack, you know, milk, bread, cheese, can of beans, whatever, tea, coffee. Because when somebody arrives somewhere, they don't know where the shops are. They quite often arrive late at night. Nothing to eat or drink, and that kind of thing works, doesn't it?
Yeah, you could take that. That's what a lot of people will do now, but you can take it that one step further. So hopefully we can do that for other people. Mm. Anything that they say, oh, could you do that? We'll look into it. We'll try and organise it. Mm.
So from your point of view, you've got three at the moment. Do you plan to expand that?
We'd love to expand. That's what we'd like, to get more people to come to us and say, can you help us? Can you do something for us? We've actually put our fingers in a different pie and gone to local estate agents. So we've got them on our radar to say to people, oh, well, if you in between selling a house,
right,
or you don't know what to do if you have inherited a house, have you thought of the holiday let business? So we've got four little estate agents working for us in the background as well to try and get people to A, rent the cottages, or B, if they've got a property, they've got to put it on the market.
Right.
Could be on the market for a year. Why not let it for that year?
Right. Okay.
Instead of it sitting there, just having people go round and look at it once, or I don't like this, I don't like that, we can go in and advise, set it up as a holiday let, and get it earning for them.
Okay. As a business, I'm intrigued by what you're doing, and I don't have a great deal of experience, but I have owned a holiday cottage which I let out occasionally, and you know, spend your time repairing the damage afterwards and all that. But anyway, we'll gloss over that. The interesting thing is, and I guess 6 months in, you're probably not going to know this quite yet, but one tends to think of these things as very seasonal, very cyclical.
Not really, no.
It's not anymore,
not
is it?
Anymore, no, because staycations have become more popular. Christmas and New Year is regarded the same as summer seasons. Mm. So your July, August dates, you can expect to get the same payments at Christmas and New Year.
Yep.
A lot more people that are retired early in Britain will be going for weekends away.
Yep.
When it's quieter, when all the kids have gone back to school. Mm. So your Octobers, your Novembers into December, same February, March, April.
Yep.
Those 6 months, you get shorter stays. Yeah, you don't get the full week, but you can still make them work if you've got the right advertising and you've got the right property and the right look to it. It will still be encouraging. I've got people going in this weekend.
Right, okay. Cool. In March.
Yeah.
In March?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's you're absolutely right. You know, I mean, we're not constrained by that kind of thing anymore because you market to different niches. Mm-hmm. Here's a question. Have you thought about expanding out of the county? Is that something on your plans, or are you gonna stick to Kent and Essex?
For now, we're sticking to Kent and Sussex, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Trying to keep it local.
Okay, cool. When people come to stay, What are the kind of things that you're encouraging them to do? Because one of the beauties of a company like yours is you're not only bringing business into the county, you're sharing it around as well, because they're not going to just sit in your cottage for a week, are they?
No, they're
going to do stuff.
Ideally with Kent, whether you've come down from the north of England and you're staying in Kent, you can take the Ashford International to Paris for the day, or vice versa. If you come from Europe, you can sit in your cottage, and we have in all our brochures, take a night trip up to London. Yeah. So, you know, you've got local interests on your doorstep. You've also got, how far could you go? I've had a lady ask me, how long does it take to get to Big Ben? My son needs to see Big Ben.
Right,
so I've gone on the websites and done the train timetable and everything else, and I've worked it out for it. It takes an hour and 25 minutes from the cottage right into the centre of Westminster. You know, so those sorts of things are doable, so we can spread it around a little bit and get them. There's also walks on the doorstep at Lenham.
Okay.
There's walks that have been written by walkers, but you get the Dutch, the Germans, the Scandinavians love to come for a winter holiday to walk on our beautiful downs.
Yep, absolutely. And then, of course, you've got local hotel, local restaurants and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, we advertise all those. All our brochures that go into the houses say how many minutes it is to drive or walk to. And there's just diverse restaurants all over Kent. So, you know, whether it's a good old pub by a fire and you want a nice roast, or you want something a little bit exotic, or it's all there for
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. Cool. So we could talk about this forever, but we love that. Thank you so much for joining
us. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
If people want to find out more about renting one of your cottages, how can they do that?
Our website, www.loveithere.co.uk, or our handle is at loveithereholes.
Love it here, Holes.
We love it here.
Yeah. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. Do have a check at the website. Hey, and if you know anyone that's coming to Kent, it's a good place to stay, isn't it?
Exactly.
Funnily enough, my eldest son got married just before Christmas, and we struggled awfully. He had family came from all over the world to come to the thing, and we ran out of hotels. We ran out of bed and breakfast. We ended up putting people in a glamping site.
Yeah, we've got one book because her son's married. He's from Yorkshire and he's marrying a girl in Kent. So they're coming down for the weekend.
Yeah, so all that
works.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, everything.
Absolutely. Cool. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure to hear from you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. I've got a few things that I want to let you know about. There's the Seven Oaks Business Show coming up on Friday the 28th of April, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. taking place at the Stag Plaza. That's in the London Road, Seven Oaks. Business networking, presentations, exhibits, free entry, and the first 100 people there get a goodie bag. They do. They get a goodie bag. And also, Headway East Kent. Headwayeastkent.org.uk. Have you had a head injury, accident, stroke, brain tumour, encephalitis, or a brain hemorrhage? And these are just some of the causes of head injury. Can we help? Support and help for people with acquired head injury and their families at our day centres in Canterbury, Ashford, Ramsgate, Dover and Folkestone. And Headway are doing a lot of charitable fundraising issues at the moment. They've got a casino going on and all kinds of things. So have a look at their website, headwayeastkent.org.uk. A fabulous charity doing some really brilliant work. ZC Live, one-day digital event on Friday the 9th of June at the Ashford International Hotel. And it's free to attend. Learn how to accelerate your digital and social media marketing in your business and create more leads by mastering key strategies over a whole day with international speaker, business owner and TV star. She didn't say that. I said that. Commentator Zoe Cairns.
I was going to say, she wouldn't have said that.
No, she didn't.
That's hilarious.
She is a TV star.
She is.
I said that. No, she didn't. Sponsorship opportunities are available. If you can, you can find out more by emailing paul@zcsocialmedia.com. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to talk to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker, Mr. Danny Wood of Burlanes.
You can't do that to me. Sorry, Danny. You just can't do that to me. I've just sat down. Right, I'm going to go.
Right. She sat down. She's got to stand up again now because she's Facebook Live in it. Danny, welcome to the Business Bunker show. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you start off by telling the listener a little bit about you. And a little bit about Burlanes.
Well, a little bit about me. Not much to know. I've done everything in the building trade one time or another. Got into fitting kitchens 10 years ago. Run a company that was installing for a company in Tunbridge Wells.
Right.
And then met a lady there called Lindsay. And myself and Lindsay started our own company creating bespoke furniture and interiors 5 years ago.
So you're creating bespoke furniture.
Yeah.
You're actually making your own furniture.
Yeah, if you want a wardrobe or a kitchen and you want to treat yourself, then we're the guys to go to for that furniture. We're based in Sevenoaks, which is where our shop is. All the guys that work for us are from Kent or live in Kent, guys and girls. Really, really big skill set in Kent for the joinery industry or cabinet making industry.
Right.
So it was natural to set up here. Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about some of the stuff you make and some of the things you do? Stuff. So you specialise in not just kitchens, though?
Not just kitchens. Bedrooms, bathroom furniture, office furniture, or home office furniture.
Right.
We've done that. If on our website, everything on our website is actual furniture that we've made.
Okay. And
pictures that we've had taken.
So let me kind of understand the range of products that you make.
Yep.
I'm assuming that you kind of make fitted stuff. So if I had a home office, you could build a desk in there and shelving and that kind of thing?
Yeah, we do quite a few where people are tight on space and want to use the room for another space.
Mm.
So you'll have like bifold doors that will hide TVs or your computers, hide printers in the
and kind of like cupboards under stairs and things like that.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff like that. So we've just done a lady who works from home,
right?
And she's using her dining room, and she's got like a whole office in behind four big doors, and
right.
So you can fold them doors out during the day, and then you've got your workspace, your work office there, and then overnight when you're entertaining, you can shut the doors, and it's just a lovely big four doors, hiding it all away.
Some of that stuff must be quite difficult engineering feats, as it were, to kind of plan and execute.
Yeah, all our work's we CAD draw it first, so our client can see what they're going to get, what they're going to get, and check that it fits into the space that it's going to go into. We 90% we install all our own work. We also do the decorating, the plastering, laying the floors and stuff like that.
All the ancillary stuff that goes around it. Okay.
To create the rooms that they want.
Okay. So if I'm fascinated by this because it's really cool, isn't it? I can't afford it, but it's really cool to talk about it. So if I wanted to do something in a room, I call you guys in and I go, this is my room, guys. What can I do with it? And you're going to make me some suggestions. You go, you don't want to do that, but you could do this, you could do that. And I go, yeah, I like the sound of that. You then do me a drawing that shows me what the finished article is going to look like as a drawing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, well, when we're doing kitchens, 90% of the stuff we do is into new build extensions that people are putting onto their houses, I think.
Yeah.
Sign of the times is a lot of people are not moving. They're extending the properties.
I've just done exactly that myself, built an extension last year. Yeah.
And we're normally involved at the planning process, and we get a lot of people coming with their architect's drawings before they've even found a builder to work out how they want their kitchen, where they want their island, do they want their sinks, taps in the island. We design it for them, create plans, they go away, find a builder, and then about sort of 6 months later, we go back to install their kitchen.
Right, okay.
That's the sort of stuff we do.
Cool. And I'm fascinated by bedrooms.
Yeah.
You do bedrooms.
Yeah.
Do you actually make beds?
No, we make headboards.
Right,
That's what we say. So you get your wardrobes, and then we'll make a matching headboard, bedside cabinets that go with your bed.
Cool. So, you're going to design fitted wardrobes to make the best use of space in a room.
Yes.
Yeah.
We do a lot of... we're, again, extending. People go into the loft space.
Yeah.
So you get odd shapes with the eaves and the like. So we create furniture that will fit into that space. There's a lot of like pull-out doors, drawers for your shoes, your watches. That's a popular one at the moment for the boys up London who are coming in and collect watches.
Watch drawers,
individual drawers for your watches. Yes, so we've done that quite a few times.
Cool. As I say, I mean, designing these things is a feat of engineering to a large extent.
Design's not necessarily my forte. I've got my business partner Lindsay. He's been in the industry.
What's your are you a cabinet maker or?
I'm not a cabinet maker. I just do all the logistics. So
make
sure that it's made, delivered on site at the right time.
You're a project manager.
Yeah, project manager of it.
Sweet.
And of the company, and then liaising with everyone's builders and other subcontractors, which is
always a laugh.
It's an interesting bit. Most interesting, hardest part of my job is dealing with all the construction workers that people have employed to do their projects.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit now.
Yeah.
Don't worry. What's the most interesting thing or challenging thing you've been asked to do?
What, to design? Oh, we did a job in Marble Arch, and it was a multi-million pound project where they're knocking two flats through for a foreign client. They wanted us to hide the air conditioning into the wardrobes. So every room had wardrobes, every room's had air conditioning.
Right.
But they weren't. There were some something with the building. They couldn't have the ducting in the building. So we had to create the ducting in the back of the wardrobes.
Oh, right. Okay.
So the air conditioning was hit at the bottom. Ducting went up and it pumped it out through the top, and their clothes were somehow hid in the middle. So that was the most technical.
So you air conditioned their clothes?
Yeah. I mean, it was all worked out. I mean, it was by other people who know that stuff about air conditioning, but that's what they wanted us to do. So
Wow. We
had to fit around that.
Weird.
So that was an interesting job.
Yeah, for sure.
That and that to get crane in to get it up. It was a penthouse right. property, and crane all our furniture in. So that was, I sweated on that day. Which
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. So as a company, how long have you been going?
5 years as we are now.
Okay. I've actually seen your catalogue website. And you've got some fantastic stuff there. And it is all custom built and custom made. What kind of materials do you use mostly?
It's all natural timber products on the front. So the doors and the frames are all made from tulip wood or oak. We're all sourced from local companies in Kent.
Right.
We try to keep all our sourcing as local as possible. UK-based stuff. We use UK-based hinges. Mm. I'd use as much UK-based stuff as I could, really.
Right. Okay.
But it's hard to find.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, we just started using a company from England to make the hinges. And then our metal work, so our draw runners and stuff like that, they come from Italy.
Right, okay.
So we try to keep it.
And do you do more kitchens than anything? Is it normally kitchens and then bedrooms? So, you know, how does it work?
Do you know what? A lot of the time we get asked to do the kitchens, and then we do the kitchen, and then it goes on, do the wardrobes, the bathrooms, but it's just a natural progression for it.
Okay.
We do a lot of stone flooring. We do that in when we do the kitchens and the bathrooms.
Okay. You talk about bathrooms.
Yeah.
Is that a complete bathroom design or...
Yeah, we a lot with that. We take in change. Normally, it's changing other rooms into a new bathroom. That seems to be a popular one at the moment.
Right.
So en suites that were never there in the first place that we're fitting them. So I think in Kent you've got a lot of old stock of houses, so we're quite used to working in really old houses. And like obviously new houses, they come with en suites, don't they? Everyone has an en suite in a new house. Mm. But if you're going to go and buy an old barn or something like that, you want that. Convenience of a new build, but in your old Kent oast house. Done quite a few oast houses.
Right, okay. That must be interesting type work, an oast house, because it's round.
Yeah.
So you've got a really interesting thing to do there with furniture, surely.
The guys who fit the work surfaces, they pulled their hair out doing that one. But we have done them, done quite a few now.
Right. So that must be highly specialised in terms of, from a woodworking point of view, to make everything curved.
Yeah, well, we do make curved stuff. It just comes down to measuring it again. We do two tight surveys before we start making anything, before anything gets made, or it's all checked by myself and Lindsay, our designer.
Cool. So you've got a shop in Sevenoaks.
Yep.
Your manufacturing factory is in Medway?
Rochester.
Yep.
On the Medway City Estate.
Okay, so presumably the shop is like a showroom. So you showcase the kind of things that you do.
Yeah, we call it our showroom, like a design centre. So you've got downstairs, you've got kitchen, we've got the upstairs in the shop, we've got bedroom, bathrooms there, home libraries there. So people go there to get their stuff designed, and then it's made by us over in Rochester.
Wow. It fascinates me with these types of companies that you just don't know are there, you know, from a manufacturing point of view. I mean, obviously, everybody would have seen your showroom.
Yeah.
Are you in the High Street in Sevenoaks? We're about to
We're just down from the Byron Restaurant. I don't know if you know, opposite the cricket.
Really popular part of Sevenoaks. So loads of people would know your showroom because they'll walk past it. But we wouldn't know that you manufactured the stuff in Rochester.
Yeah. I really like it that we're local to where we sell it from. We've got we employ quite a few people from Kent, 16 of us in total on the company.
Right, okay. So you've been going 6 years.
Yeah.
Do you tend to specialise in the southeast of England, or do you do stuff all over the place?
We've fitted all over. We've done one in the Isle of Skye a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Talisker House. It's a main building, like old house that's on the Isle of Skye. And we've done one in...
I mean, you must have had to have flown the wood in or something. They don't even have trees on the Isle of Skye, do they?
We built it all down here and shipped it up there. Yeah,
right.
There's a guy who, we know, he's quite prominent person but didn't want to be named by us on it. He was happy for us to use Talisker House in our marketing. But he came down to us, wanted us to make him a kitchen, and we made it, shipped it up there, and then we all went up there and fitted it.
Wow.
But the hospitality in Scotland was pretty good. Right. It was meant to be on a 5-day fit. We ended up being there 7 days.
Yeah. They hit the malt, didn't they? They hit the malt.
They put us up in the local pub. So right.
There you go. Yeah. So the job took three times as long as it should have done. Yeah. Oh, sorry. We forgot the screws. Yeah. We'll have to come back. Cool. No, that's really neat. And we love local businesses, especially creative businesses like that and manufacturing businesses. I mean, so we've got bathrooms. We've got kitchens, we've got bedrooms. You've mentioned briefly studies. There is this whole move now towards home working and home offices and small offices and even garden offices.
Yeah.
Is that something that you touch at all?
Yeah, I mean, that one I was describing earlier about the lady, she started to work from home. So she started her own business working from home. She's a designer, interior designer, and that's what we've done. So we incorporated that into her house.
Right. Sweet. We were having a discussion before we came on air about the fact that you've actually, what I would call, white labelled some of your furniture as well. Yep. So you've got an agreement with another organisation in East Kent, I believe, that actually sells on your designs and your furniture for you.
Well, not designs, our furniture. It's been quite interesting working with another designer because obviously me and Lindsay have got our ways and now we do stuff. And we've been selling our kitchens and furniture as we have.
So you're working with someone that's doing a design and they come to you and they go, build that.
Yeah, so obviously we've got the constraints of how we make it and the way you make a shaker door and stuff like that. But like the way they lay out a kitchen will be different to how we do it. Mm. We've been working with them. We put some of our furniture into their showroom at the beginning of this year.
Right.
And they seem to be doing well with it. They've sold a few.
Right.
And I wanted to come on today to look for someone else.
Right, so you're looking for other partners, so anybody that's working in that kind of field in other parts of Kent or East Sussex, presumably.
I think for me, it's a big balancing act because we've got 16 people on the firm, and they're all really skilled. A lot of them are skilled, and we've got apprentices and stuff. So it's to keep that level of people going, you need a lot of work. So
absolutely.
It's a constant balancing act of where we are, and I think if we was to have three shops or three outlets in Kent, that would put me in a strong position to keep them guys at a constant level. Of work.
So if there's anyone out there listening or knows of anyone that is in that business or would like to be in that business or operates in a similar business and you'd like to partner with someone that makes bespoke furniture.
Yeah, I think it's Iron Builders. Iron Builders, if they're doing a job quite regularly, that would work for us to make furniture for them. Or another showroom that's at the moment not offering a bespoke service. And then so they could then compete with some of the really big boys like the national companies that have bespoke furniture.
Absolutely. We could go into that. A great idea. And like you say, you know, there are people that aren't in exactly the same business, but you could add this. I'm a great believer in collaboration, and this is a perfect example of how you can collaborate and create more out of something that's less, if you see what I mean. So I totally back what you're saying about collaborating with other people. It's a great way of expanding your business and their business and making more for our economy. So all power to you. So if anybody knows anybody out there or wants to know more about it or thinks they know someone that might like to partner, do get hold of Danny. And Danny, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
No, thank you for having us.
Been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We love companies like yours locally doing stuff. And I really love the fact that you're hiring apprentices as well. And training young people in some really, really useful skills. It's really good stuff. My oldest son, actually, he runs Fruitworks, which is a community space over in Canterbury, and he made all the furniture over there, but he's not on the same basis as you guys because he made it out of planks and pallets. But, you know, it's one of those things that it's starting to come very much back in fashion. A lot of things. People are fed up with mass-produced stuff.
They
want something that's hand-built, made well. So all power to you. Give us a shout for your website so that people can find out more about Burlanes and the wonderful work that you do.
It's www.burlanes.com, which is B-U-R-L-A-N-E-S. And if you go onto that website, you'll find our Facebook links. Most of our stuff's on Facebook.
Yeah.
It gets updated every other day with new photos of projects we're working on.
And I really do suggest you have a look, because there's some fabulous stuff on there. Have you had a look as well?
Stunning.
It is some stunning
absolutely
stuff in there.
Yeah.
I started wanting to put things in where I don't need things.
Yes,
just
I'm
for the sake of
well.
Putting things in there. I don't need that, but I want one.
I
haven't got any watches, but I want a watch drawer.
I want one of his islands because I make cakes and I've never got enough room. And I sometimes do 3-tier cakes and I need somewhere to put them, but I'd love one of the islands. Right. Can't afford it, but I'd love it.
Yeah.
In the future.
There you go. Danny, thank you so much for that. Absolute pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. But Danny Wood of Burn Lanes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Loads more emails. We've still got tweets coming in, and we'll get round to some of those. Let me see. What have we got?
Well, I've got one from...
Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. I've got one from Zoe as well. So ZC YouTube, I'm loving this. It's massive at the minute. So YouTube for Business Wednesday, the 29th of March, Medway Innovation Centre, 9:30 till 12:30. And it's £97 per person. So are you using YouTube to reach a new audience, grow your business and build your brand? So come along there. So go onto Eventbrite website and check out Zoe Cairns's YouTube business. Super important.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. The Business Diaries have tweeted me. I know you read the email out earlier about it, but they just tweeted and said, hello, Business Bunker, great show. Can we have a shout out for our storytelling on the 23rd of the 3rd, which you mentioned earlier.
I did, yeah.
At the Innovation Centre Chatham. They've also got one coming up in June.
Oh, nice.
Which will be good.
Have you been asked to talk yet?
I'm talking at the one in June.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I just mentioned
I've been asked to talk as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Cool.
What story are you going to tell us?
I'm not telling you now. It's a secret.
Oh, Kurt, another one?
Yeah.
You're full of it. You're ranting and you're secretive.
Yeah. We've just had a tweet from Simon Chapman of the Alternative Board. He says, absolutely great show. Thoroughly enjoyed listening to it. I'm going to miss the last 5 minutes because I've got to go out.
Oh, thanks, Simon. Yeah. Thanks for letting us
know. Well, we'll stop now.
And goodbye.
Yeah.
How funny. So we've got Kent Business running a very successful series of Women in Business luncheons each quarter, and it's a fantastic way of meeting some new business contacts. This is at Bridgewood Manor at Rochester, 24th of March, and that's next Friday. You know who's talking there, don't you? Miriam McGurk
is actually talking there. Yeah.
And so it's a really great event. It's really amazing. I love going to these. And Carol's just awesome. So £29.50. Get yourself over there for a two-course lunch and two fantastic speakers.
I can't read. It's Pi Accounts, I think, is the Twitter handle. And they are talking about Danny and Burlane. And they said, it's great to hear that you have a workshop and you manufacture in Medway and manufacture locally. It's really good news. Thank you. And Laura Gillespie talking about Sue is saying, a great concept for a company, very timely with the landlord tax changes. Absolutely, which is entirely where it came from. And I've got a minion.
Have you?
I've got a minion.
Why?
I don't know. Amanda sent me a minion again. No.
Ah.
She's... Oh, it's got a telephone. It's got a telephone. That's what it is. It's a minion with a telephone.
Why? Oh, I get it. No. See, it gets people thinking, doesn't it? Yeah. I think it's not so much business, Paul. It's more personal. It's that with somebody rings you personally, it's not so much business. So it's an interesting avenue to start looking at.
Absolutely. Sorry, I'm just trying to catch up on some of the tweets.
I know, it's gone mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's there's tweets all over the place. We'll do some of those. What we're going to do now is...
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you a news roundup from the Federation of Small Business in Kent and Medway. Closing the digital gap, the FSB has urged the government to engage with small businesses as it moves forwards with its digital strategy launched last week. The strategy includes a focus on skills and infrastructure to support the digital economy. National Chairman of the FSB, Mike Cherry, said the digital gap for small business hinders productivity and growth. For the UK to be the best place in the world to do business, we need fit-for-purpose digital infrastructure and help for small businesses to develop their businesses online. Yeah, and we need broadband too.
You're still ranting.
I am. I can't believe what they're doing.
I'll give you a hug a minute. Right, here we go. Future of Work Roundtable. The Royal Society of Arts, the RSA, is inviting the FSB employers to be part of a roundtable discussion on artificial intelligence. Oh, I'm loving this at the minute. And automation in the workplace. This will inform a research project looking at key emerging technologies, what they appear to be capable of, how likely they are to be adopted by businesses, and if necessary, how our education, tax and welfare systems should be reformed to prepare people for more technological disruption. About time too. The roundtable will take place between 2 and 3.30 on March the 22nd at the RSA offices in London. Contact Alex Metcalf. I have got a massive thing about this at the minute.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah, okay. I have, about AI and everything. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. We'd like you to join us. That's the FSB. At Wilmington Academy, ready to pass on your business advice? Could you inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs? Perhaps you have thought about hiring an apprentice, but not sure if young people have the skills you need for business. Get involved now if you have the chance. This is the fourth FSB Skills 3030 event, and it will give you a chance to forge strong links with local schools, share your experience of running a business, and meet potential young employees. While students take part in workshops, business owners find out about hiring an apprentice and the new Kent County Council Guild initiative. Then both groups meet to facilitate a speed network. Who should come? Business owners, business managers, employers, HR managers, and recruitment company owners. The next one is taking place at the Wilmington Academy, which is Common Lane, Wilmington in Dartford, and it's on Friday the 30th of June. It's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's entirely free, and lunch is provided. And you can book your place, your free place, by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Wilmington. It's a program I run with the FSB in schools, and we try to take up to 30 businesses to meet up to 30 students for a morning in which we, as businesses, tell people, young people, what we expect from them in the workplace. I.e., we don't want their GCSEs, we want their attitude, and we want their work ethic. And we explain to them about the differences in university degrees, vocational qualifications, and apprenticeships, and the kind of things that we like. It also gives the young people a chance to ask us what we want from them and what they want from a job, you know, to tell us what they want and why they would work for us or not work for us. It's fabulous fun. We've run four or five of them now. It's really, are people sending silly tweets again? I can see you all laughing over there.
Danny can see himself.
It's Danny just with his face here on Twitter. It's like, boof.
It jumped out at you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the 30-30 program is something we run on a regular basis. If you're a school, if you're a head teacher and you want us to come and run the program, it's totally free. We don't charge anything to do it. It's a great way to establish links with your local business community. We've run loads of these now in different places for different schools all across Kent and Medway. If you're a school and you want us to run it, do. If you're a business, please join us. It's great to have businesses join in. We do speed networking, but you also get something out of it yourselves. You get a chance to talk to young people, but you also hear from Kent County Council about the apprenticeship schemes, the new apprenticeship levy, and also a thing called the KCC Guilds. And a lot of people haven't heard about the Guilds, but they're a really good initiative. So do come along and hear all about that. I'm actually on the Kent Creative and Digital Guild, but there's a guild for every market sector, construction, there's a guild for hospitality, healthcare, every sector that you can imagine has a guild. So do come along to that.
But, grants. Do you have a low-carbon project planned? You could apply for a grant of $500,000 available to businesses involved in low carbon economy. Perhaps your business is developing new technologies. You could be eligible for £500,000 grant to support research and innovation. Find out more about this grants and funding. Go on to fsb.org.uk, blah, blah, blah. And then it's grants and funding for business 2017. Go check them out.
This is my favourite one. I'm going to read now. It's the new apprenticeship scheme. Guess what it's called?
A new apprenticeship.
No, get in.
Oh, yeah, go you far. Did. Yeah, yeah.
I love doing that. It's called Get In, Go Far. Get yeah. In, Go Far with apprenticeships. The FSB is backing the latest phase of the government's Get In, Go Far campaign to promote apprenticeships to small businesses. Apprenticeships and Skills Minister Robert Hafflin has written a blog exclusively for Verse Voice, encouraging more small businesses to hire an apprentice. And FSB National Chairman Mike Cherry was also quoted in the Department for Education's press release. You can also watch a short film with the FSB's Apprenticeship and Skills Chair, Anthony Impey, on his experience of hiring apprentices. You can do all of that by going to fsb.org.uk website and find out more about that.
Cyber security warning. The government is urging Britons to take cyber security as seriously as home security. Latest figures are showing that cyber crime was one of the most common offences committed in 2016, with an estimated 2 million cyber crime incidents compared to 686,000 domestic burglary offences. Interesting. And yet, according to the Cyber Aware campaign, while 82% of British households have double locks or deadlocks, only 32% follow the latest government advice to use three random words to create a strong password. On average, only 52% regularly download the latest software or app updates. So it's super important. Cyber Aware also launched a new film. Go check them out.
Fantastic. I'm sorry about this, but I'm not the only one ranting, apparently.
I'm not surprised.
As a small business owner and FSB policy director, I was extremely disappointed by the Chancellor's announcements on Wednesday to raise the Class 4 national insurance contributions for self-employed to 11%. I don't think anybody's too happy about this, is the message we're getting here. The Federation of Small Business believes this is wrong, unwarranted and ill-conceived. For this reason, we have publicly called on the Chancellor and the government to think again about this measure. We're pleased to see in response to this call that legislation to introduce this fundamentally unfair tax has in fact been delayed. We will use this time to lobby the government not to protect this tax hike. The government appears to have misunderstood that the work of the genuinely self-employed is fundamentally different to that of employees. They do not have the same access to benefits. They do not have higher barriers of higher barriers to entry for things like financial services, financial products and mortgages. And the tax system must reflect and reward our entrepreneurs for taking the risk to set themselves up in business. The self-employed impacted by this announced tax increase are the hard-working, moderate earners in the self-employed community, the plumbers and electricians, the hairdressers and mechanics, but also musicians and writers and the people in our creative sectors. These are the strivers, the people that the government says it wants to support, and these are the entrepreneurs found in every community that drive our economy. So, absolutely. You got anything else, Bud?
I've got loads, but I'll do a quickie. So it's special offer for FSB members at Grow Kent, the place to do business, Canterbury Bridge Business Show, 22nd of March. Go check them out. Great speakers, great exhibitors, masterclasses, workshop mastermind. Go check them out. Grow Kent, bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Fantastic. Have you got one more?
Yeah. Network in
FSB.
March.
Yep.
I hope you can join us in Tenterden. This is where you are, isn't it? For
it
an
is.
Evening of relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, the Secret Pantry. They're delighted that next month's speaker is Sam Nightingale of Gibbet Oak Farm Shop and Cidery. Goodness gracious me, cidery would be us on the floor.
Absolutely.
So both FSB members and non-members are welcome. You can pay on the day. It's £5 for members or £8 for non-members. Do book your place and bring a friend. So that's Wednesday the 15th of March at the Secret Pantry in Tenterden.
Fantastic. And I think that brings us to the end of our news update.
Channel Radio News Update.
That also brings us nicely to the end of the show.
Wow.
Another packed show. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to share 2 hours with you. We will be back with you next week. We've got some cunning plans of all
yes,
kinds in the pipeline. So there's loads of things happening. We're not going to tell you too much just yet, but there are things happening. There's loads of things happening during the week. I just want to say a massive thank you to all today's guests, to lovely Sue Smith, Danny Wood and Fiona Mason. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. To my gorgeous co-host, the lovely Sarah Ann Lucas. Thank you for joining us. We will be back with you next week for another Business Bunker Show. Do stay tuned.
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down.
Cool drum beat and a squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Wave after wave of good music. This is Channel Radio.